2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll start there this morning. Spring off into a new study. I enjoyed our study of being biblically separated over the last couple of months. I hope that you and I are practicing that, because we ought to be different from the world, amen? But today and probably next week, we're going to study about the Word of God and its importance and what it means to us, how we ought to apply it. So let's get right in there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the what, church? Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of who? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." I like that verse number 15. The Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ." How many grew up in church? Raise your hand if you grew up in church. How many remember when you were a child, you remember the first time maybe you heard the story of David and Goliath, and you thought, that dude David, he's pretty cool, huh? I remember thinking when I was just a little guy, you'd hear story about Daniel and the lion's den, and how cool, and Moses whenever God parted the Red Sea, and Noah building the ark, and you just remember how cool you thought these dudes were. Well, you know, whatever happened to them being cool dudes? As we grow up, it just kind of becomes something that we hear over and over and over again, and we don't really think David's that cool anymore. But see, the Bible says that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. In verse 14, the Bible says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." My question is today, is the Bible still important to you like it was back then? When you read that Bible and you learn and you read those stories that you've heard 100 times, does it still do something to you that God was able to work through David to defeat a giant? Does it still do something to the inside of your heart? Does the Holy Ghost still speak to you and let you know just how mighty the God of this Bible is? Because He's still strong today. He's still true today. He's still the same God. He has not changed. Let's learn a little bit of history about our Bible. It's generally accepted that human knowledge, some reading this morning, comes from two sources, reason and experience. Everybody agree with that? We experience things, we learn, we hear it, and we learn it. We need each of these to understand the world around us. Even though each of us has these two common sources of knowledge, these sources fail to answer those important questions in life. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? You know, the truth is, people all around you, they do ask those questions every day. It's common to see somebody believe, well, after I die, it's just I'm going to the grave and that's the end. Well, folks, we know that's not true, right? Because we have a Bible that teaches us otherwise. And truthfully, you're going to hear people tell you, well, what's in there is not true. You can't prove it. Let me tell you something. You got to make up your mind. Either you're going to believe the whole Bible or none of it. Amen? Because it's all true regardless of what you and I believe. It does not change the truth that God is still the way, the truth, and the life, right? God is the truth. The Bible is true. It always has been, always will be. It has stood the test of time, and it will stand all the test of eternity. Amen? The Bible is true, all of it. There's another source of knowledge that we can turn to for these answers. It's called revelation. We find this revelation or revealing of truth in the Bible. It is from the pages of this God-breathed book that we find the answers to life's most challenging obstacles. It is in the pages of this blessed book that we find the strength and the sustenance to continue in our journey for Christ. I don't know about you, but there's been plenty of times, and we're going to sing a song this morning called "He Never Gave Up." There's been plenty of times in my life, Brother Thomas, when I thought, you know, everything around me is a mess. I don't know how I'm going to continue on. And if it were not for, listen, I'm talking about, you even go to family sometimes and it seems like they've given up on you. They don't want to hear anything else you got to say. They don't have no more compassion on you. But I'm so glad, Brother Ricky, that God, the God of this Bible, has never given up on me. Ain't you glad that God has never given up on you? Amen. Listen, There are two types of revelation, general and special. General revelation is that revelation which has appeared to all men, regardless of their religious background. This revelation has appeared to us in the form of the creation. This one act alone is enough evidence of God's existence that we are all without excuse before Him. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter number 1. You know, no one's going to die and be able to look God in the eye and say, I just didn't know that I was supposed to be saved. That's not going to happen. Romans chapter number 1. God says He will enlighten, or He will lighten every man, and I believe that He will do just that. There's not a single soul in hell today because God did not give them a chance, because the Holy Spirit did not convict them unto salvation. They chose to reject the free gift of God. Romans chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is what, church? Revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of who? Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So what God is saying is, yes, they're unrighteous, yes, they're unholy, but I'm going to reveal myself to them. They're going to have an opportunity to accept me by faith. They're going to have an opportunity to partake of the grace that was bestowed to all men when Jesus Christ died. They're not going to die not knowing that they had a chance. All sin, all ungodliness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto who? Them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what, church? Amen. No one will be able to stand before God and accuse Him of not making Himself known. That is what general revelation is all about. Yet there's another form of revelation, which is referred to as special revelation. This involves a more direct communication or revealing of truth with man. In times past, this revelation has been given through dreams, angels, and visions, and Christ Himself while here on this earth. Now we have the finished revelation of Christ in written form. We call it the Bible. Amen. It is the Word of God that shows man his need for a Savior. Would everyone agree with that? It was the Word of God. It not only points out the need, but it also gives the answer in the message of Christ's redemptive work on the cross. The Word of God becomes our manual for life and our roadmap through the obstacle course of this world. Good morning, Brother Andy. Good, buddy. Apart from the Bible, we will never know Christ or His will for our life. Therefore, take God's Word, hide it in your heart, and never go a single day without spending time in it. David said, I hide God's Word in my heart that I what? I might not sin against God. So your only chance to sin less and less and less is if you hide God's Word in your heart. For me, I'll tell you what, if I don't start my day off in the Bible, I don't have to work in a worldly job anymore like I used to work construction every day. And I'm telling you, it was rough going to work and hearing those guys who weren't like-minded spiritually. And it was tough sometimes. I'd let things slip out of my mouth that I shouldn't let slip out of my mouth. Hey, guilty. You're not by yourself. Listen, but here's the thing. If I start my day off in the Word of God, when that temptation comes, I'll quickly remember what I just read. And the Holy Spirit will say, hey, no. Be not overcome there. Come on now. You get it? Listen, greater is He that is in me than he that is what? In the world. But listen, you got to let the Bible work through you. But in order for it to do that, you have to read it. Please remember this statement. God's Word is the foundation for everything we believe. If the foundation is faulty, the rest will be shaky at best. Amen. What you believe about salvation, about Christ, about heaven and hell, and about any other doctrine is determined by what you believe about the Bible. With the thought in mind, let's explore the pages that God's story to man. Four things here. The Bible is a unique book. Would everyone agree with that? Well, number one, the Bible is unique in its development. 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 through 21. Somebody say amen when you're there and you can read it for me. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 19 through 21. It's like a sword drill. Who's going to get there first? You there? All right, go for it. 19 through 21.
Until a light that shineth in a dark place, until the late day dawn. And
Verse 21.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
So see, folks, these words in this Bible are not of men. They were penned by men because God breathed it on them and told them what to write. Okay, the Bible is unique in its development. The Bible that we hold in our hands is the work of about 40 different writers. The Bible was written over a period of about 1,600 years without one single contradiction in its pages. Why is it not contradicted? Because it's Holy Ghost authored, okay? It's nothing that any man ever thought up. It was only what God wanted. Number two, the Bible is unique in its duration. Not only is our Bible God-breathed, coming to us directly from God, but it has also been preserved for us in the King James Version. And this is what is miraculous to me, is that, you know, it bothers me when you come across a scholar that says, well, no one has the original manuscripts. Well, when you find those and you're able to read those, you come talk to me. Here's what we have, a God in heaven that's able to preserve His Word to you and me, country folks, in an English-speaking Bible that's without error, by the way. Nothing wrong with it, nothing ever been wrong with it, nothing ever going to be wrong with the King James Bible. Amen? Amen. Nothing wrong with it. He preserved it for us. Why on earth would He ask us to live out what He wants us to do if He's not able to give us a copy of how to do it? Amen? God is a pretty big God. God has given us the promise that He will preserve His words. Look at Psalm chapter number 12. I want you to see this because the Bible says it, not because Drew says it this morning. Psalm chapter number 12, verse number 6 and 7. The Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth. In a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt, what's the next word, church? Preserve them from this generation forever. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Bible plainly states that God's word shall endure forever. 1 Peter 1:24 and 25. The Bible says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth how long? Forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the Bible is unique in its development. We know it was God-breathed, Holy Ghost authored. The Bible is unique in its duration. It's going to stand the test of time. It's going to be preserved to all men. The Bible, number three, is unique in its declarations. If you were to cut the Bible into pieces, over one-fourth would be prophetic in nature. It touches subjects from heaven to hell, from salvation to condemnation, and still covers all the major issues of life. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We started there. We're going to go back there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of who, church? And is profitable. So is the whole Bible profitable to me as a Christian? Now, is the whole Bible written directly to me? Absolutely not. But let me tell you something. It is written for me. Amen? There's a big difference in for and to. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given for me, not to me. Number four, the Bible is unique in its deliverance. There's nothing on earth that can free us from the chains of sin and temptation. Look at John 8, verse number 32. John chapter 8, verse number 32. It tells us about knowing the truth and allowing it to make us free. Not set us free. We know our Bible teaches us that it makes us free. God don't need time to set us free. Amen? When you accept that free gift of salvation that He's given you and the Holy Ghost is coming, is now residing inside of you, there's no setting free process, folks. The Bible says, make you free right now. That's how big God is. That's how good God is. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what, church? Make you free. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? John 18:38, Jesus answers that question in John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. It is the word of God, which is the truth of God, that is able to make men free. No other book has influenced as many people as the Bible. Listen to this. It's quick, alive, and powerful, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Never forget the word of God and the power that is within it. David hid it in his heart. Why? He realized that it would keep him from sinning. After David sinned, he turned to God's word. Why? He realized that it could cleanse him. Look at Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter number 119. Longest chapter in the Bible. Anybody ever read this chapter straight through and in one sitting? You should try that sometime. It'll take you about 15 or 20 minutes, but it'll be worth your time, I promise. Psalm 119, verse number 9. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his what? Way. How? By taking heed thereto according to thy what, church? The word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy what? Commandments. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. The Bible is more than just 66 books. It is one integral unit from start to finish. God unfolds the greatest love story of redemption that one can ever read. It is totally accurate in everything that it teaches. What it says about history has been confirmed by archaeology. What it says about prophecy, we are watching come true before our eyes. Amen. There's no other book like the Bible. Love it, read it, study it, memorize it, use it, live by it. As one preacher aptly put it, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Amen. It will never lead you astray. It is an anchor in which you can place all of your trust. It is not the work of men nor the opinion of men. It is the work and the word of God. So how do we understand what the Bible says about itself? This book, which has been preserved for us, is an interesting book. Probably the greatest chapter in the Word of God, this is opinion now, is Psalm 119. It talks a lot about the Word. Although this is the longest chapter in all the Bible, what it covers is of utmost importance. Here we find several synonyms for the Word of God. The Bible is referred to as the law, the testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and the Word. We find that the Bible makes some unusual claims concerning itself. It tells of how it is able to cleanse our ways in verse number 9. It tells that its pages are full of wealth and treasures in verse number 14, 72, and verse 127. It is referred to as a companion and a close friend in verse 24 of chapter 119. It is called a lamp and a light, verse 105 and 130. It is in the pages of the Bible that we find comfort, verse 76 and 92. It is from the book that we receive our strength, verse 28. This book is one that can give us direction for time and eternity, verse 133. Jesus firmly believed in the teachings of the Old Testament as God's word. He did not regard them as the works of Moses or as the mere words of a prophet. He knew them to be the words of his Father. Our Bible was inspired. We've read 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16 and 1 Peter 1:21, and preserved by God himself. Did you know, here's another thing that bothers me. If people will read the end of the book, the first English-speaking Bible was our King James Bible. And if you'll read the end of that, God gave us a warning not to mess with his word. He told us not to add to or take away from that. Let's look at that. Revelation chapter 22. Go over there. Revelation chapter 22. Start there in verse number 18. I mean, this is the Lord speaking to us. Revelation 22:18, the Bible says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things," what things? All these things that God has given us that he don't need help with, okay? "God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now, that does not mean they're going to lose their salvation. Don't mix that up. Okay, there, you know, the Bible teaches laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't get that confused. That you cannot lose your salvation. That's not what the Bible says. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen. So, it's pretty clear that God does not want his word messed with. Amen. So, is it okay to take another version and change the words? Because things that are different are just simply not the same. Amen. There's a reason that they want the words changed. There's a reason that they take away part of the scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone. Period. What did Jesus say you should live by? But by every word of God. You can't find that in your other Bible. It's not there. It's gone. So is there a difference? It bothers me when they say, well, they're just worded different. It means the same. Well, if it means the same, there's nothing wrong with the original one. You just don't want to live by the word of God. You want to find a book. I don't even like to call it the Bible. You want to find a book that conforms to your image of Christianity is what you want to do. And that's not okay, folks. If we're not going to let the King James Bible be our final authority, then I don't know what to tell you. We're not going to make it. I can tell you that right now. He has given us the promise that his word will abide forever as he intends it to. As Christians, we can pick up our King James Bible and be confident that we hold the entire word of God perfectly preserved for us. Why is it important for God to not only inspire but also to preserve his word? Well, let's look at the importance of inspiration. The word literally means God breathed. In our Bible, if our Bible had come from any other source than God, we would only have opinions of men. You know, you can go, I mean, we can keep it as simple as possible. How many Auburn fans we got in here? Oh, just a couple. How many Alabama fans we got in here? Okay. Now, how many of you Alabama fans were enjoying that game up until about 48 seconds left? I mean, all the Auburn fans would say they were loving it, right? Different opinions, right? But how quickly did those opinions change? Fourth and forever? Said fourth and goal, but we were on, what, the 31-yard line? I mean, come on. Look what led, I'm sorry, we're just reliving this here. Look what led up to it. A bad snap, an 18-yard loss. A quarterback steps over the line of scrimmage, throws the ball, a 5-yard loss. I literally said, I'm not even going to watch the Georgia game now because it's not even going to mean anything. I mean, if we beat Georgia, great, but who cares? They're still going to be in because we're out. Right? So look, you see how quickly opinions can change? I could take you outside right now and say, how many love the rain? Some of you would say, I love the rain. Some of you would say, I wish it was warmer. I wish it was cooler. I wish it was sunnier. I wish it would never rain again. You see what I'm saying? Everybody has different opinions, but here's the deal. God has one opinion, and it's right here. And we could probably go around the room and ask opinions on what we think about this verse. Do we like this? Look, there's a lot in the Bible that I sometimes think, man, if God wouldn't have put that in there, I could enjoy this. You know what I'm saying? But hey, he did. And if God said not to do it, I probably ought not do it, right? It's not up to what Brother Drew thinks. It's up to what God said. What thus saith the Lord has to be the final authority. I'm so thankful we don't have to live by man-based opinions. God has given it so that we may have a guidebook that is free from all error and mere opinions. What God says is truth. Therefore, what the Bible teaches is truth, regardless of who believes it. Ain't you glad that's still true too? Second, we see the importance of preservation. This concept helps us to understand a small portion of God's power. We believe that our God, the one who created the world, who made man in his image, who provided redemption, who conquered death in the grave, and who is coming back for his saints in the air at the rapture of the church, is also able to keep a simple promise to preserve his word and to keep it free from the pollution of sin and error. If we could not trust his word, we would be unable to discern his will for our lives. We would never be able to understand anything concerning salvation, nor the growth process of sanctification. This is why when I get the opportunity and the Lord allows me to lead someone to the Lord, I love taking the Bible, sitting them down one-on-one, even if it takes, I mean, I remember a few weeks ago, Ashton, we got to lead him to the Lord. It took us almost 2 hours to take him through the Word of God. But listen, it was worth it because I didn't want Ashton to take my word for it, right? Because my words are nothing. But if I can show him biblically, and this is our foundation, and I believe the words of God to be true, then and you know, he would say, okay, well, once I get saved, how can you assure me that I can't lose my salvation? Well, let me take you in the Bible and show you what the Bible has to say about that. You mean you could take, oh, Brother Drew said I can't lose it. What is that? Nothing. It's absolutely nothing. But man, if I can show you in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have what? Eternal life. Look, folks, that's the Bible. That's not Brother Drew talking. So you mean I can sin as much as I want to and keep my salvation? Well, unfortunately, yes, you can, because sin has been paid for, but you don't have the freedom to sin. You've been freed from sin. Right? I love taking the opportunity and showing people in the Bible, and as long as it takes, it's okay. But man, when they get it, they have a foundation of where their salvation lies, amen, and where their eternity lies. They don't have to trust what the preacher said or what mama said or the Sunday school teacher or a prayer they said in Sunday school years ago. Folks, they can trust that by faith they believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved is what the Bible says. And I'm thankful we have a Bible that's able to do just that. We would never be able to understand anything concerning salvation, nor the growth process of sanctification. Aren't you glad that we just spent 8 weeks almost, I think it was 8 weeks, we talked about how Christians ought to be biblically separated. And it wasn't because the preacher's up there saying, oh, you're doing this. And no. We went through the Bible and we looked at what the Bible had to say about us being biblically set apart. Folks, we cannot be the same. We've got to be different. Come ye out from among them and be ye what? Separate. We are commanded to be separate from the world. Because, by the way, we have a different destination. Amen. Heaven's our home. Hell's their destination unless what? Unless they, you know, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior as well. But look, when you're in public, if you're living like them, you were commanded to be a light in darkness. This world is very, very dark. And I'm telling you, people all around you are watching you everywhere you go. If we fail to understand the importance of God's preserving His Word, we will see no reason for concern when other Bible versions are being used. We will not worry if the other Bibles say things that are different or whether they fail to use all the verses that our Bible has. After all, we will reason that it gets the main point across, and does it not? The truth is this: things that are different are not the same. We must settle the issue of God's power to preserve for us His Word. We must believe that He is able to keep His Word. He is not slack concerning His promises. When the authority of God's Word is finally settled in our hearts, we can easily see the teaching of Scripture fall into four major categories. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 one more time, and we're almost done. These different categories are described to us in 2 Timothy 3 in verse number 16 and 17. The Bible says again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Number one, doctrine. What is that? It just simply means what is right and what is not. Amen? What about reproof? What is not right, okay? Correction. How to get right. Amen? You know, you should not. Listen, one of the worst things you'll ever do as a Christian is go to someone worldly that's living as bad or worse than you and ask them what you ought to do to get right. Folks, the Bible has a clear answer for what you ought to do to get right. You know, you can start, you know, and even if you don't go directly to the Bible, at least go to someone who's trying to do right or is trying to do a little bit better than the state that you're in. Not saying they're better than you by any means, but what I'm saying is, folks, listen, all around us, my whole life, I've had men in my life and women in my life that I've gotten to go to that I knew, that ladies that pray for me and men that pray for me. And I have no problem even today, if I'm struggling with something, giving one of them a call on the phone and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. What do you think I should do? Can you help me? Can you show me in the Bible some area where I can get some help? Folks, don't ever be too prideful to go get some real biblical doctrinal help. Don't ever be too prideful to do that. So doctrine, what is right, reproof, what is not right, correction, how to get right, and what about instruction, how to keep it right? Wouldn't it be good if we just learned how to stay right? You know, we said it a couple weeks ago, we're never going to be sinless, but we should, as Christians, sin less and less and less. Amen? Amen. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you, God, for a copy of your Bible that you've preserved and inspired for us. I thank you, God, that we can trust every single word of it. We don't have to doubt any of it. Thank you for the study this morning. Lord, bless us now as we go into this next hour. Bless those who are on their way. Give them safety here. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Blake, kill that live stream. Thanks, man. Jake, I went in and just put this mic right here. I just went in and put this mic right here for that guitar. How's your ankle? How's your ankle? Is it good? I hear a loud dually or dodge.